Good morning.
You may have to bear with me a little bit.
Testing. 1, 2. Okay, there we go. Now you can hear me. Sorry. So, on a bit of a time crunch to see when my voice gives out, so maybe a little bit shorter this morning because of that. Bad news is I might make y'all talk a little bit more because I can't. So, sorry. Another bit of an aside, tonight is the fifth Sunday singing here. I believe that's correct. I'm extremely excited about that. I'm going to tell you why. A bit of a pet peeve that I've just found out that I have is when people sing new songs that I have no idea what they are. Everyone only sings the melody and they don't put the music on the screen. Chapel at Lipscomb makes me mad. Put the music on the screen so I can sing the bass part. Otherwise, everyone just sings the melody and I don't like it. So, I know it's aside, but a pet peeve that I've developed, and I was so happy to actually be able to sing old songs that I knew with music on the screen. Very excited for Fifth Sunday singing tonight because of that. But as we get into the lesson this morning, when we see this reading from Mark's Gospel of the calling of the first disciples, a lot of times the story that we see in Mark, it's also very similar in Matthew, is how we think of this story. You know, it goes through, it's short, there's not a lot to it, not a lot of detail to it, and it really centers around this idea of when Jesus says, you know, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You know, that's the center theme in both Matthew and Mark's Gospel, and even in Luke's, but in Matthew and Mark's Gospel, that's pretty much all it is. It is, you know, this is Jesus saying, you know, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. That's the story, that's the important part. There it is. Luke gives us a little more detail, and in this detail we see something very important, especially with Simon Peter. Simon Peter is faced with a few decisions that we see more clearly in Luke's Gospel. So I'll just begin by reading, and this is in Luke 5, and it's 1 through 11. So you'll know that I'll stop at 11. But it says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, so the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowded around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little farther from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and have not caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boat so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. So let's look at how the story starts. You know, something to remember, because a lot of times, because of what the text says, we focus on one part of the story. But we really need to pay attention to something else. So, you know, the story starts out as Jesus, you know, standing by the lake of Gennesaret with these people. He's teaching this crowd. You know, he's continuing this ministry. In the very end of chapter 4, we see, you know, Jesus saying, you know, I can't stay. He's actually, you know, at the house of Simon. He's just healed his mother-in-law. He says, you know, I can't stay. I have to go and preach to the other areas. You know, that's what he's doing. So he's here preaching, and we see Simon Peter, the other fishermen, they're mending their nets. They've worked all night. If you know anything about, you know, fishing on the sea here, then the prime fishing time would have been at night. So they had gotten out there that night. They had fished all night. Now it's, you know, morning. The fishing is terrible now anyway. So any hope of catching anything, of making anything out of this day is gone. They've worked all night. How must they have failed? How must Simon have failed? This is the part where you have to talk more because I can't. So I'll even step down here. How must Simon have been feeling? Tired? Definitely. He's worked all night. So tired? Frustrated? Definitely feeling frustrated. I mean, this is his job. He does this professionally. If he can't get this right, he doesn't put food on the table. He's worked all night. He's exhausted. He's frustrated. What else? Feels like a bit of a failure. I mean, this is his profession. This is what he does. Are you feeling a little inferior? Like he's maybe not quite good enough? And you know, we infer a little bit here, but doesn't it make sense? He's worked all night. He can't be very happy. He's done no good. He hasn't provided a thing for himself or his family. So we see Peter before Christ comes. Now we have to understand that there's a little bit of symbolism here in that what I mean by before Christ comes is Christ hasn't come far enough down the beach to be with Peter yet. But how does this also connect to our own lives? Sometimes as we go through life before Christ, before we allow ourselves to begin a connection with Him, don't we kind of sometimes feel the same way? Maybe tired and frustrated. Maybe like we're not quite good enough. Because we're trying to fish ourselves. We've been fishing all night. And we get to the next morning and realize that we've done no good. So Simon Peter is here before Christ comes. He can't be feeling very good. And now Jesus comes and he begins this process that we'll see through the rest of the story of this melding, this integration between him and Simon. So now we see Jesus comes down the beach. He goes up to Simon. He basically says, you know, can I use your boat? There's too many people. They can't see me. They can't hear me. I need to use your boat. I don't know about you. If I had been Simon in this situation, I'd have been like, no, I'm tired. I've worked all day. We've already talked about how Simon must be feeling. He's not in the best of moods. What must his first thought have been? No, I'm putting the boat up and I'm going home. I've been at this all night. Fishing is useless at this point. All I've had to do is finish these nets and I'm going home. But he's already seen something in Jesus. And we really don't know how much connection they've made when he comes to Simon's house in chapter 4 and heals his mother-in-law. You know, we don't know what kind of connection was there. We don't know if maybe Simon brought him to the house solely to heal his mother-in-law. You know, we don't know if maybe he heard something in what Jesus was saying that he connected with. We don't really know. But we know that he's already made enough connection. He already sees enough in Jesus. He says, all right. You know, sometimes we have to do the same thing. We have to make that same decision when it comes to going from before Christ to the process of integrating ourselves with him. We have to take that first step and say, all right, we see something here. We may be at a point where we don't know what it is yet, but we see something here. It's all right. I'm tired, I'm frustrated, I want to go home, but you can use the boat. So Jesus goes out and he starts to teach from this boat. And using a little bit of imagination here, I know that's difficult. You know, Peter's probably sitting here, and you get that it's Simon Peter, I know I keep going back and forth, and that's probably really annoying. So Simon's sitting here, he's probably still trying to fix the nets in the boat. Maybe not, he may just be kind of hanging out. But he makes a very important decision. He's developed this proximity with Jesus because Jesus is using his boat. It's as simple as that. But because Jesus is using his boat, he has this proximity to him. Now, he has a choice to make. And it's a choice that we have to make. That is, when we get into this proximity with Jesus, we've made the choice, all right, you can use the boat. We've seen something here, there's something special. We'll go along with this. Do we make the choice to say, all right, we've let you use the boat, but I'm just going to kind of keep doing what I'm doing. You know, Simon could have said, I'm going to keep doing my job. I'm going to keep fixing the nets. You know, I'm going to get this boat ready for tomorrow. I'm going to get at it come tonight. I'm going to do a better job. I'm going to make it work. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to work faster. I'm going to work smarter. I can do this. But I don't think that's what he does. I'm sure he begins to, but as Jesus starts to speak, I have this feeling that he started to pull Simon in. Just like he was doing to this crowd, he starts to pull Simon in to what he's saying. The reason I believe this is because here a few verses later, Simon makes a very big decision. So clearly he's seen even more out of this man named Jesus. So as we go on farther into the story, Jesus says, all right, put out into the deeper water and let down the nets for a catch. Now this is the reason that I think Simon has seen something more in Jesus. You know, you only have to see so much in the man to say, all right, you can use my boat. Simon's a professional fisherman. He knows that this time of day, he's not going to catch anything. He also knows that he's not going to catch anything in deeper water. If you know anything about how they would have been fishing, it would have been in the evening and in the shallow water. So this is completely counterintuitive. And Simon's the professional fisherman. Jesus is a carpenter turned itinerant preacher. Simon's got to be thinking, no. I'll let you use my boat. Is that not enough? Now I'm going to go throw my nets into the water again. I may end up having to clean and repair them again. I want to go home. But he's begun to be drawn into this man named Jesus. My guess is that he let himself start to be drawn in as he listens to Jesus teach from his boat. But he says, there's something here. He's letting himself be drawn in, letting himself start to meld together with Jesus. And he says, all right, there's something. There's something worth going out on a limb for. So he says, all right, we'll go out into deeper water. We'll let the nets down again. You know, they let these nets down. You can only imagine the sense of, you know, they start to pull him in. And, you know, he's kind of got to be doubtful. He's kind of got to be thinking, this doesn't make a lot of sense, Jesus. You know, where are you going with this? Is there a lesson here? Is there a parable about me not catching anything again? Or what's going on? As they start to pull these nets in, you can only imagine kind of look of surprise on his face as, you know, that there's that pressure from all those fish. And him thinking, that's weird. You know, you can only imagine the look on his face when finally they pull it up to the surface and you see this morning sun shining off of, you know, this boiling water created by all these fish here at the surface. And, you know, he's got to be thinking, well, that's weird. And not only that, but he starts to pull into this boat. The boat begins to capsize. And if you know anything about these boats, they would have had a draft in such a way to be able to carry, you know, ridiculous amounts of weight and, you know, be very, very stable. And even this very stable boat is being capsized by the weight of all these fish. The nets begin to tear. So they call their partners over and they fill both boats to the point where both begin to sink. So you see, he's, as we go on before, we see how, you know, Simon's felt before Christ. He's frustrated, he's tired, he's angry, he's trying to do it all by himself and he can't. He's getting nothing done. And he begins this process of melding with Christ. He begins to see something in him. He begins to be drawn in to this Jesus. He's drawn in enough to where he'll go out on a limb. And now he sees something truly amazing because he's willing to do that. And here's where he makes maybe the most important decision of all, and one that a lot of us are forced to make. He lets himself be drawn in. He lets himself go out on a limb. Jesus does something amazing. And I don't know about you, but my first reaction would have been, someone call the Galilee Gazette. I broke the record. I'm going to be in the paper tomorrow for sure. Or, shoot, I don't have to work the rest of the week. This is great. This is fantastic. I turned it around. This is awesome. Thanks, Jesus. In fact, you know what? Pretty sure you and me could cut this maybe like 60-40 and just take the fishing world by storm. Simon doesn't do that. He could have looked and said, all right, what do I get out of this? How can I make this work for me? I was willing to go out on a limb. Nice. Great decision on my part. Now, what do I get out of it? He doesn't do that. They bring the boats to shore. And Jesus says, come, and I'll make you fishers of men. Simon gets up and follows him. Something that I think is amazing is Simon doesn't even say, let me take this catch in, Jesus. You know, let me at least take this to market. Let me at least get the money from this. How much of an impact must Jesus have made on Simon for him to say, I'll even give up this amazing blessing that you've given me just now because I don't want to be away from you for a moment. Because I want to follow you right now. Do we let ourselves have that same experience? We know Jesus still has the same power. And I believe that we are at some combination, all of us, of one of these three points. Either we are before Christ, or we're feeling tired and frustrated and inadequate, like we can't do it. Or we're beginning to meld together with Him. We see that there's something there. We're starting to let Him draw us in. Or we finally become one with Him. And in doing that, we've become willing to give up everything. Now, I think a lot of times we're at some point on that scale. So my question today is can you honestly sit down and say, all right, here's where I am on that scale. That's a difficult thing to do because, you know, sometimes we don't necessarily want to admit it. Sometimes we're in this process of becoming one with Jesus, but we're like, no, I would have given it up. You know, I'm already one with Him. I would have given it up. What would we have? Would we have made the same decisions that Simon did? Would we have said, all right, I see something here. I'm willing to give up a little bit of sleep. I know I'm tired, but I'll let you use my boat. Would we have gone even farther and said, you know, I think I know what's best, but I'll go ahead and go along with what you want to do. Or have we gotten to the point where we would drop everything, even the blessings that He's just handed us, and say, I just want to follow you. So that comes from one side. And that's the side of where are we in the story of Simon. There's also another side to it. And that is, we see Jesus calling His first disciples. You know, we're called in a very similar way to be fishers of men. So how do we do that? How do we draw people in the same way Jesus did? Because we don't have Jesus here to make such an impact on people like He did on Simon that they say, all right, something special, I want a part of that. We have to do that. Once we create that connection, once we become one with Christ, we have to live that out in such a way. We have to portray Him in such a way. We have to mirror Him in such a way that we have that same effect as He did. We have that same effect that people see us and say, there's something different. I'm willing to let Jesus use my boat because I see a difference in the people who have done it before me. Or I'm willing to go out on this limb because I've seen the people who have done it before me. And then they finally get to the point where they say, you know what? I'm willing to drop it all. I'm willing to give it all up. Because I've seen such a difference in the people before me. So I know these are kind of two different lessons, two different sides kind of to the same coin. One is, how do we see this in our own lives? But another is, how do we show it to others? In this story, we have to be both Christ and Simon. And that's a difficult thing to do. But for those of us who have taken on that call to be fishers of men like Simon did, it is both our responsibility to maintain that oneness with Christ, but to also show Him. If you haven't taken on that call to be fishers of men, or if you haven't taken the opportunity to step out of the boat, give up the catch that you've been given and say, I want to follow you. I never want to spend another moment apart from you. Or if you need anything, whether it be prayers or just help with anything at all, will you come while we stand and sing?